Okay, you have an outline in your notebook. Message one, and the title of this whole conference, although it's short, it's very profound, and that is the Divine Commission according to the Heavenly Vision. The heavenly vision eventually becomes our divine commission. And we'll get into that, and you'll understand a little bit more of what we're talking about. So the title for this message is The Heavenly Vision of Christ. And there's two parts of this. There's actually even two Roman numerals. And yeah, before I get started, it's good if you could take notes, because at the end, we'd like for you to at least speak a little something with your neighbors. We'll have just little groups maybe, and just speak something that you saw or you enjoyed. It's nice if you have some notes, or you at least underline something or highlight something, so that you realize this was kind of special. And that way you could learn to speak to one another. And that's to give life to one another. So anyway, this message has two sections. The heavenly vision of Christ. It's two things. Number one, we want to see a heavenly vision. We need to know what is this heavenly vision. And we need to be impressed how much we need a heavenly vision. That's actually Roman numeral one, our need for a heavenly vision. And then the second section is, whatever visions we have, what Paul had in the way of visions, there was someone in the middle of it all, and that was Christ. It was Christ as the content of all the visions. So we're not just seeing something weird about the universe or something. It's a heavenly vision that is of Christ.
Amen.
It's altogether of Christ. You've got some verses there, and I'll refer to a number of verses, and you probably won't have time to look them up, but I'm just going to speak them, little parts of the verses, into you, and hopefully you can make a note. But anyway, hopefully you would appreciate the word like it would be just something very precious to you. The first verse that you see under scripture reading is a verse that Paul declared to King Agrippa at the end of his life. You know, Paul was an apostle, and he lived a life according to a heavenly vision, and that's what he told King Agrippa. I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. So what we're going to see this morning is he had a vision. And you have to ask, what is this heavenly vision? What is a heavenly vision? Well, a vision, if you look in the dictionary for a vision, it says some crazy things. A picture you see in your mind. Well, that's not bad. But it has another one. It says something you see or dream as part of a religious or supernatural experience. A little closer. And then the next one was a manifestation. I like this one. A manifestation to the senses of something immaterial, but it's as reality. It's not bad, huh? You want me to read that again? A manifestation to the senses of something immaterial, but as reality. So real. This is what Paul got. And I hope this weekend that you all would have such a desire and have the experience of seeing a heavenly vision of Christ. It's not simple. We're a complicated being. We're complicated. We're complex. And you can liken us all to a camera. You may have heard this illustration. We're all like cameras. Justin, you're just a camera. Not just. You're a wonderful camera. But what the Lord wants to do is get, like the camera, He wants to get the scenery outside of you into the camera. But He has to go through the lens of your mind, your understanding. And He has to shine something heavenly through the understanding of your mind into the film of your heart. Is that making sense? You have to realize and remember, God created us in His image. So we're vessels. We're vessels to contain God, to express God. Doesn't that sound wonderful? We're not just meaningless human beings on the earth looking for meaning. We know what the meaning is. Listen, He made us as vessels for Himself to come in and be the content, to express Himself through man.
Amen.
Isn't that wonderful? Jonathan here is a vessel. He was made to contain the life of God.
Amen.
That's why he was made in the image of God. It's not just, yeah, let him just live, whatever, do whatever you want. Listen, life is meaningless without Christ. If we're not containing God and expressing Him, no matter what you do in life, you'll always find an emptiness deep within. You check with people that are successful. They have plenty of everything. They're miserable inside because they can't help it. They can't help it. They need the gospel. They need the good news because they were made to contain God's life. That's the meaning of human life. That's the meaning of our human life. It's to contain Him. But listen, there's a lot to that. I mean, that's a tremendous thing. So as a camera, you guys, we have a heart. And the film of our heart is what the Lord needs to impress Himself with. He's the scenery. He's got so much to show us. But He has to come to the understanding of our mind. And He has to be impressed on the film of our heart. You know, Paul, the apostle, listen, when the Lord checks one day, you'll see his heart has pictures of Christ. Take out the film of Paul. Christ, 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 Christ. What will happen when you stand before the Lord and He checks your heart? What's your heart full of? Oh, let's look at the pictures. Oh, what's that video game? Oh, what's that? It's full of sports. You know, it can be filled with all kinds of things. You know, but the Lord wants to give us a heavenly vision.
Amen.
Through the understanding of our mind onto the film of our heart. Is there an amen?
Amen.
I hope there's something in us all. Lord, this weekend, oh Lord, give me a heavenly vision.
Amen.
Something fresh, something new of Yourself beamed into my being. Amen. Let's go. Let's look at the outline. So our need is for a heavenly vision. And there's some verses there. You see Proverbs 29:18. It's a very simple verse. It says, where there is no vision, where there's no vision, people cast off restraint. If you don't have a vision, just live any way you want. It's kind of like that Nike slogan. Just do it. Just do it. Nothing matters. Or if it feels good, do it. And they just narrow it down to just do it. Whatever comes into your mind, there's nothing wrong with anything. You see, there's a philosophy of the age, and there's no vision. There's no real vision. But we should be people of vision, something heavenly, something divine. Point A says this. You want to follow along? In the Bible, vision denotes an extraordinary and special kind of seeing, a glorious inward seeing of the spiritual scenery we see from God of divine, spiritual, and heavenly things under an open heavens. That's a kind of a long statement. But I'd like for you to repeat a couple of words. Like glorious.
Glorious.
How about inward seeing?
Inward.
How about spiritual?
Spiritual.
Divine.
Divine.
Heavenly.
Heavenly.
Under an open heaven. There's some verses here that refer to under point A. You have Ezekiel and Daniel. These are ones in the Old Testament. They got a heavenly vision. Ezekiel. Did you know Ezekiel got visions? He had visions. You can't believe what he saw. How many are all, tell me all about Ezekiel? Ezekiel 1. David, it's awesome, isn't it? I mean, this is how it begins. Just listen to this. This is Ezekiel, a prophet used by God in the Old Testament. Now, in the 30th year, in the fourth month, on the fifth of the month, while I was among the captives by the river Chebar, the heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God.
Amen.
That's all I'll say that. Visions of God. I can't tell you how awesome this is. I won't get into it, but it's my favorite chapter in the whole Bible. I have a student. There was a couple students. They said, I was on the campus. This is at UCLA, and asked, "Do you have any Bible studies with some of the ones who serve here on the campus?" And, "No, they're too boring." So they said that to me. They're too boring. I said, "Okay. You get an appointment with me. I promise it won't be boring." So that was I kind of went out on a limb. Okay, now how am I going to make this not boring? They grew up in the church, and they know all the stories, they know everything, and whatever you ask them, they got the same answer: Christ, the Spirit, the Lord. They know that's the answer to every question. So you know what I used in my Bible study? I used Ezekiel. I said, "Watch out! It's like a science fiction a movie you're going to see." And really, when you get started, you realize, I'll just give you a little taste, when the heavens were open, what did he saw? He saw a storm wind from the north. He saw a fire flashing incessantly. And a cloud. There was a storm wind from the north. There's a cloud. There's fire, and there's electrum. Can you believe there's a word in the Old Testament called electrum? These guys never heard this before in their life. What are you talking about? A storm wind from the north, cloud, fire, electrum. And then what comes out of it, out of this comes what? Four living creatures. And each one of the creatures have four faces. And they all have the appearance of a man. But then they have a face of a man, they have a face of an ox, they have a face of a lion, they have a face of an eagle. Which face are you? Anyway, they've got all kinds of faces. But not only that, they have a wheel next to them. And when their wings are touching each other, and they go backwards, and they go sideways. And when they run, they flash the lightning. And there's torches going up and down between above them. And there's fire going between each other. Listen. It's awesome. You have to read Ezekiel chapter 1 someday. Listen, Ezekiel got visions. It's so significant. It's so awesome. Okay, forget about Ezekiel for now. Then there's also Daniel. Daniel, he had a dream. And of course, we all know Daniel got a vision of the end times. What's going to happen on this earth at the end of this age? It's clear. Bang, bang, bang. So precise. And then there's the verse, Acts 26:19, where you see what I've just mentioned, the matter of King Agrippa. I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. Well, let's look at point B. It says, the heavenly vision of Paul's completing ministry must be seen by us in our spirit, and this vision must be renewed in us day by day. So our burden is what Paul saw would become what we see. I don't know. You may think, I see what Paul sees. Well, it needs to be fresh. We want something fresh this weekend. May the Lord give us a fresh vision of what Paul saw. He got a heavenly vision. And it was something that controlled his life. Even he stood before, went to Rome. He had to die there in Rome. Listen, he was willing. But he affected the world like no one else other than the Lord Jesus. Then C, it says this. Can you take a look at that? This vision of the age will keep us living in God's presence. This vision will uphold us, control us, and become our divine commission to meet the need of this age. And then he gives you two more examples of Jeremiah and Isaiah. You see the verses there? Jeremiah, Isaiah. Jeremiah was young, And the Lord appeared to him and called him. He called him. And he was just, but Jehovah said to him, this is in Jeremiah 1:7. He said, Jeremiah, don't say I'm a youth. Don't say I'm too young. You know, don't be afraid of their faces. I'm with you to deliver you, and so forth. So eventually, Jeremiah was used by the Lord, and he got the words from the Lord, and he spoke the words of the Lord, and he was used by the Lord as a called one. He got a vision of what the Lord was after. Same thing, Isaiah. Isaiah got a vision. Do you know anything about Isaiah? Let me tell you how this begins. We enjoyed this together. This is sometimes good for just praying over it because it makes you crazy. Because we were together with some college students one time, and that was back when I was in college, and we were just using some verses to enjoy. And this is how Isaiah 6:1 begins. In the year that King Uzziah died. Okay, let's all say that strongly. King Uzziah died. That wasn't strong enough. You have to think of that like that's your old man, that's the devil or whatever. Let's all say that. King Uzziah died. So in the year that King Uzziah died, guess what happened? I saw the Lord. Amen. I saw the Lord what? Sitting on high, on a high and lofty throne. And the train of his robe filled the temple. Wow, what a vision. Here he is, the one who's the most high one, the Lord. He comes in and his train, you know what a train is? Like the brides, they have that thing behind their dress, or their dress just flows. Well, the Lord, there was the train of his robe filled the temple. And then listen to this. And seraphim hovered over him, having six wings, and with two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. In the King James, and with twain they did fly. Oh, we got crazy. Let's all say that. With twain they did fly.
With twain they did fly.
That means right away we saw it. With twain. Amen. Praise the Lord. Stand up, brother. With twain. With twain. You know what twain is? It's two, right? With twain. Amen. What happens? We fly. When we see the Lord, oh my goodness, we can fly.
Amen.
And not only that, they're saying to one another, listen, Brother Ray, here's what they're doing. You know what they're doing? They're saying, holy. No. Holy.
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 They're saying that to one another. What is this? Unbelievable. And then they said, the whole earth is filled with his glory. Let's say that. The whole earth is filled with his glory. Okay, so we were driving home, and we were on the freeway in Houston. There was two cars going along, and we're full of young people, and the windows were down, and we were sticking our heads out the window. Holy! The other one's, holy! We were crazy. Yeah. The whole earth is filled with his glory. Oh, yeah. Crazy. The Word is awesome. Anyway, there's vision. There's vision in the Word. There's vision through. That's what Isaiah saw so much. And then of course, you have Acts with Paul. The verses there, you see that. Now then, can we all read D together? And one, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. One, while Saul of Tarsus was on the way to Damascus,
a heavenly vision came to him, and this vision turned him, changed him, revolutionized him.
Amen. So he got a vision that turned him, changed him, and revolutionized him. And in the next message, Tim will get more into this about really what he saw in the vision. But I will say this. He got a heavenly vision that stopped him. It blinded him. He got a vision of Christ that stopped him and caused him to need help. And you have to realize that we all, as believers, we need to be stopped. We need to be blinded by the Lord. We need to see him in such a way that it stops us. It blinds us and causes us to need the Lord and need others. Saul, he was Acts 9:1. Saul was breathing threatening. Look at this guy. He's breathing threatening and murder. He had been taking men and women, having them, agreeing with their death. He was bringing them into, to custody, and they were being killed. And he was breathing out threatening and murder. Everyone was afraid of him. He was so much, for God according to his natural thought, his natural view. But listen, the vision of the Lord, when the Lord appeared to Saul, it stopped him. It blinded him. Saints, there's something to this. And I know a lot of you just grew up in the church, and you may not have much experience of this, but I hope you have. And if not, I hope this weekend you get stopped. I hope you get blinded.
Amen.
That's okay. Is it okay to get blinded?
Amen.
Why don't you tell your neighbor, let's get blinded.
Let's get blinded.
So, Saul, he was breathing out threatening and murder, but there was a light from heaven that really stopped it. And he heard a voice from heaven saying, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" Now, who was Saul persecuting? Who was Saul persecuting? The Christians, the believers. And the Lord, he hears a voice from the heavens saying, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" So what is that? That's a fascinating statement. And eventually he responds with, "Lord, who are you?" Even that little statement, "Lord." All of a sudden, this strong, fighting one, killing Christians, he's stopped. "Who are you, Lord?" And then the Lord just tells him, "I'm Jesus. I am Jesus whom you are persecuting."
Amen.
But wait a minute. The voice is from the heavens. And I'm persecuting him? How can I persecute him? I'm persecuting believers. What does that indicate? That indicates to him, he realized, whoa. It indicates a lot. He got revelation. He got vision. But I don't think he was that clear. He took time after that. Once he was blind and stopped, he began to pray. He was praying. When Cornelius found him, he was praying. Was it Cornelius?
Ananias,
he was praying. Well, I'll get to a little bit more on this in a second. But I want to say something about this blindness, blessed blindness. The only thing I can do with this is I just like to give my testimony, a little bit of my testimony. So if you bear with me, I just want to mention a few things. When I was in college, I was doing my own thing. I wasn't pursuing the Lord. I wasn't looking for the Lord. And I was just doing my own thing. I was involved in a lot of things. And in those days, it was kind of it was the hippie movement. There's a lot of things going on in the earth, a lot of unrest. And I was just going that way. I was going the way of the world. And I was in school, and I was working. And one day, I was working at a bank in the evening. And in the evening, this is what happened. Brothers and sisters, I can't tell you how precious it is when the Lord appears and he stops you. I was there, and I looked out the window of the area I was working, and all I saw was a silhouette of myself. You know, a silhouette of myself. And what I saw there was the silhouette, and it looked like a hippie. I had longer hair. I looked like George Washington or something, just frizzy, all that. And so I looked at, it looks like a hippie. And then the Lord began to speak. And listen, nobody had been talking to me about the Lord. I hadn't been seeking the Lord. I was just going my own way. I wasn't reading the Bible, nothing. It's amazing. I'm so thankful to the Lord. The Lord, all of a sudden, he stopped me.
Amen.
He stopped me. And he said, there was a kind of a sense within that said something like, is that really you? Is that really what you are? Are you really a hippie? And I don't know if you know what a hippie is, but they have a certain lifestyle. And I looked that way, and I was going in that direction. And the Lord just stopped me. Is that what you really are? And then the other ones, is that what you're going to give your life to? Listen, the Lord was calling me. He was calling. It shook me up. It was so real. And I don't know if it was then or just a little bit later. I do know I went on to a rock concert. I went to a lot of those. And I told my friends, this is the last rock concert I'm ever going to. And they thought I was crazy. They didn't know why. I just knew something was going on. The Lord was calling me. And I never went back. Never went back. But what I did was I started having lots of time with the Lord. I'd come home from work at night, and I'd just walk in a field by my apartment. Just walk. I was just opening to the Lord, opening my heart. My heart wasn't open before. All of a sudden, my heart is open to Him. What happened? I didn't know what was going on. All I knew is the Lord is calling. He's waking me up. He's turning me around. He's stopping my way of life. So what happened was I began to pray. And as I prayed, guess what? There was a lot of repentance. A lot of repentance. A lot of, I would say, a lot of adjusting of my heart. The film of my heart was being changed. Instead of looking at some rock star filling the film of my heart, all of a sudden the Lord was letting me know, I want your heart. And my heart was being unloaded. And I was repenting of everything. And it was just such a clearing out of my being. And listen, it stopped me. It was amazing what it did. And even this weekend, as I was, before this, I was considering what the Lord has done. I couldn't help but thank the Lord. I mean, what a mercy that he would appear to us and give us a heavenly vision. Listen, His appearing is precious. There's something about the Lord that is so awesome. It just stops you. But not only that, as we go on, you'll see it converts us. It causes a real conversion in our being. With Paul, with Saul, eventually he was stopped, and he was led in Acts 9, it says, and he was led by the hand and brought to Damascus. He couldn't see. He was led by somebody else. And then going on to point 3. Let's all read point 3. Can we read that? After this blindness comes upon us, there will be the inner anointing, the inner shining, the inner enlightening, the inner vision, will increase more and more and will revolutionize the way we serve the Lord. The Lord, a heavenly vision is something so inward, isn't it? What's the key word here, Kevin? Vision and inner. You notice that? Inner shining, inner enlightening, inner vision, inner anointing. The Lord wants something inward. He's not after just an outward change. He wants our inward being. He wants our heart. Amen. Lord, do you want our hearts? Yes. Do we want Him to have our heart? Amen. I think with all of us, there's someone that we're reserved. We want to hold back. We don't want to give in. Kind of like that brother who was singing that song, "Lest I would argue, Lord, and go my way." We want to go our own way and have a little bit of the Lord. But look, listen. The Lord wants to give us a vision of Himself and His purpose to the extent it stops us, it blinds us, and it causes us to have a commission to go His way. He needs us. He wants us. Do you believe that? Oh, He wants you. I wish I could just tell everyone, Ray, He wants you. We're not like everyone else. Then, You know, this vision enabled Paul to withstand any kind of persecution. Point four, let's read that. This vision enabled Paul to understand
any kind of persecution and opposition. And this vision enabled him to never have any change of religion or deviation.
Right. And so there's a verse there, Acts 9, and there it says this. Paul was all the more empowered. He confounded the Jews dwelling in Damascus by proving that this one is the Christ. This is him. This is the one that was promised in the Old Testament. It's him. And he was strong. He was empowered. And he went away with a lot of persecution. You know, there was a plot. You know, they took counsel to do away with him. They couldn't stand it. Religion can't stand reality. Religion can't stand Christ himself. So the religion of that day did away with him. They were trying to do away with it. I'm sorry. But what did they do? They let him down. Saul got let down by disciples through a wall, lowering him in a basket. Because they had the gates. They were looking for him. But listen, he escaped. And then later on in Acts it says, the Jews, the ones that were religious at that day, they wanted to do away with this one that was speaking about Jesus, telling him that he's alive, he's resurrected, he's enthroned, he's living in the believers. They wanted to shut that mouth. Well, guess, look what happened. They stirred up women of high standard and chief men of the city, and they raised up persecution against Paul and Barnabas and cast them out of their borders. And at the end of Paul's life, he could say, I have fought the good fight. Amen. He fought the good fight. I want all of us to fight the good fight.
Amen.
But we can't fight the good fight unless we have a heavenly vision.
Amen.
You know, it's a vision that can see us through any kind of persecution, any kind of attack. You know, after I really had a turn to the Lord and things begin to happen in my life, I got married very soon. And my wife, or my fiance at the time, had parents that didn't didn't care about the Lord, they didn't care about the church, and they didn't want their daughter to marry me. Can you believe that? So, you know, I wanted to have conversations with them. I met them at a hotel. And the first thing my future mother-in-law said to me, she didn't even say hello. She just said, you marry my daughter, and I will be the biggest battle axe of a mother-in-law you've ever seen in your life. That's the first thing she said. Then a little bit later, she said, she looked at me and she said, money makes the world go round, and you don't have any. Yeah. Did you get that? Money. That was big. They cared about money, and I didn't have it. You know. I mean, she sits around and read Fortune magazine all the time. Her Kathy's dad was an oil man. And so I wasn't a match for her. Well, guess what? Her mother kept her promise. She kept her promise for decades. I mean, to tell you the truth, we even had to elope to keep her from causing a big problem at the wedding. We had a wedding plan and so forth. She wasn't going to come. She was going to come and disrupt the wedding. So we had to elope, move it up a day, get some ones together, get married, and take off. And even that, she found out about it because she had a detective following me and checking it all my life. And so she found out we were eloping, but she couldn't get there in time. So praise the Lord. Anyway, but you know, when my point is, in the middle of all that, how do you withstand that? I mean, her father took me out to eat and pulled the checkbook out. Okay, how much to just postpone it? And he offered a certain amount that was exorbitant. And guess what I did? I said, no, Was I stupid? I said no to a lot of money. How did I do that? It wasn't to not marry her, just to postpone it. Why wouldn't I say, okay, yeah, I'll postpone it? Well, my wife is afraid if I postpone it, I'd get killed somewhere in the meantime. It'd be a hitman or something. I don't know. But the point is, even I look back at it, how did I do that? I just realized I was empowered by the Lord. The Lord was real. Here she is. Money makes the world go round. And I'm just there. I just was silent. You know, I'll be the biggest Madalax. I just felt like the Lord was all over me. There was just glory, grace, joy was inward there. It was no problem. Listen, that's what Paul went through. He had way more. I mean, I don't know anything about what Paul went through, but listen, the Lord, this vision can keep us. This heavenly vision of Christ and what he's after, this will keep us all our days. I mean, here I am, I'm old. I'm still here. This is crazy. But it's the most enjoyable life on earth.
Amen.
To be a person in God's image, containing God.
Amen.
Letting him live in us again.
Amen.
Not just by ourselves, but with others.
Amen.
It's awesome to take care, doing something that's marvelous, and that is to take care of his heart's desire of the
Amen.
Church. Okay, now I want to go into this next point. This is really where my burden is, actually. In E, let's all read E together, can we?
We need to go to the Lord and
spend some time with him to receive the heavenly vision and be converted from all things other than Christ to Christ himself.
So we need to be converted from so many things other than Christ. With Paul, everything stopped. You know, he had the top credentials. He was a Hebrew of Hebrews. He had all the credentials. But guess what? He got converted from all of that to Christ. And he got converted to a vision that we have to see this weekend concerning what the Lord is after. It's Christ with the church,
Amen.
His body. Then this matter of having a heavenly vision and being converted from so many things, you know, I'll just give a little more experience, my own testimony, if you don't mind. Because when the Lord started working on me, and you had the sense he's calling me, but I didn't know what to. I told one of my best friends, I said, Daniel, I just have the feeling I'm about to come into the highest thing in the universe. Of course, he thought, you're crazy. He didn't say it, but But I knew that's what he was thinking. But I had this feeling, the Lord is about to do it. And shortly thereafter, I did. I met these believers that were loving the Lord, and they affected my life. I began to see more. I saw more. I got to a church meeting where I saw visions after vision, revelation upon revelation of what the Lord is after. It's incredible. And I was being converted from so many things, like Paul or like Saul. He got converted. You know, I've told the story before to a lot of others, but. You know, I was enjoying the Lord. I wasn't in the church life. I was just on my own, looking for the Lord. Where are you? What are you doing, Lord? I want to be in what you're doing on the earth. I was driving down the road, and I was singing and enjoying the Lord. And I had beads on my rearview mirror. You know, beads? And they were special beads. They were hippie beads. And I say hippie beads because they were cool. They were cool beads. I got them in Taos, New Mexico at an Indian reservation. And they were handmade, and they were awesome. And I loved having those beads all over my rearview mirror. But you know what? That was part of my old life. And I was driving down the road, and the Lord was so good. And all of a sudden, no one said anything to me. All of a sudden, those beads just like, I don't need those beads. I took those beads. I rolled down the window. I threw them out on the highway. I shouldn't have done that, but that's what was in me. You know? And after I got rid of them, I thought, yes. I just felt so unloaded. Wow, the Lord, you're awesome. You know, I don't need anything but you.
Amen.
And I didn't even know what the Lord was doing in me. I just knew he's bringing me into the greatest thing going on. And that was just, you know, one experience. You know, there's so many things. Well, I'll tell you another experience. I had the feeling I need to get my hair cut. And of course, my dad, he was a minister, and he would always give me verses about it's not good for a man to have long hair. And so every time I went home, I'd put my hair, get it all tucked under my collar, you know, so it wasn't so bad to him, because he'd always say something. So I hardly ever went home because of that. But when the Lord touched me, nobody said anything to me. The Lord tells me, "You need to go get your hair cut." I said, "Yeah, I need to get my hair cut." So I went to my dad. I said, "Dad, I need to get my hair cut." And he's like, "What?" Because he's the one who always cut it, and he always cut it his way, not my way. So I just said, "Dad, I need to get my hair cut." And so we sat down, and he started doing it. He said, "How do you want it cut?" I said, "However you want." How did I do that? I don't know how I did that. I just, yeah, whatever you want. So he cut it, and I left. I went back to the saints, and I just, again, I was like, "Hallelujah, I'm free. I got converted from my life of long hair." I had all these, you don't even know what it is, 8-track tapes. Anyway, you know what those are. Anyway, I had all this rock and roll. And again, it was just, nobody was ever talking to me. The Lord was just, he was more wonderful than anything in the universe. And I got rid of those. I won't tell you how I did that. Anyway, I got rid of those. And I'm not saying this is how things work for everybody, but I'm just, my point is, the Lord is so real. He's so marvelous. He's the most radiant, shining one in the universe. And we need to see him. We need to have a heavenly vision of him. Him. Him, him, him. He's marvelous. We need to let him touch our heart. We need to let him in and pray. We need to pray. Here's something I'd like for us to consider praying even. It's a statement. Yeah, something like this. Lord, here I am. I'm open to you. I'm open to you, to your vision, to your commission, and I'm ready to pay any cost, any price. I want to count all things loss on account only to gain Christ. I'm ready to be occupied, possessed, filled by Christ.
Amen.
Anyway, to me, to speak this is so precious. It may not mean a lot to you, but I wish we all had this kind of desire in our heart. I hope the Lord would touch us.
Amen.
And even we would have time to pray, Lord, I'm open. I want to receive such a vision of yourself. I think I need to go on because I'm running out of time. Okay. You know, even when my, you know, I'll just say this, even in my seeking the Lord, where are you? What are you doing? I began to go to different places, you know, and as I was going, I was just looking, where's the Lord? Where's the Lord? And I went to one place, and I had this thought. Just a thought came up in me. Oh, this place, they have a basketball league. And you know what? The Lord just smote me in my heart. He says, "Do you want me or do you want basketball?" Because I loved basketball. I loved it. I ate it and drank. You take the film of my heart out. Basketball, dunking. Actually, believe it or not, I actually practiced jumping till I could dunk a basketball. You can't believe that, I know. I practiced every day jumping for that one reason, that I could dunk a basketball. That's on a 10-foot, you know, anyway. That's how much I dreamed of dunking this way and that way and over the back and this, you know. It was in my dreams. I dreamed of it. Well, when in me, I said, "Oh, maybe a basketball league," because the Lord knew I'm looking after him. It's like, "Do you want me or basketball?" Right away, I just dropped it. I didn't even think about it. The Lord was more wonderful. Okay, Lord, I'm after you. Where are you? I'm begin seeking. Okay, then let's read the next point, F. The revelation, I'll just read it. The revelation plus the divine light with our sight brings us vision. And there's a verse here, it's Ephesians 1:17 and 18. And here it talks about the eyes of our heart being enlightened. And then point one says, wisdom in our spirit that we may, is in our spirit that we may know the mystery of God and revelation of God's spirit, that he may show us the vision by opening the veil. Okay. Let me just read. Why don't you all read point two? To have the eyes of our heart enlightened requires that our conscience, mind,
emotion, and will, which are the components of our heart, be thoroughly dealt with.
And so this comes back to what I was talking about earlier, you guys, and that is our heart. What about our heart? You know, like I mentioned at the beginning, for the Lord to get in, to shine the heavenly vision into our heart, we need our heart adjusted. We need our mind tuned. You know, you take your car to get a tune-up. Listen, our mind needs to be tuned, and our heart needs to be adjusted. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, what you see is the beginning of getting unveiled is what? Turning. It's turning our heart. Whenever, you know that song? Whenever the heart shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. So whenever the heart turns to the Lord, what happens? The veil is taken away. So we need some time, you guys, to spend with the Lord, to turn our heart that he could take away the veil. We need this weekend, I hope, I pray, Lord, all of us would have a fresh seeing. Our hearts would turn, the veil would be taken away. And in practicality, you guys, our heart is somewhat complicated. But on the other hand, according to the Bible, there's four main parts of our heart. Number one is our conscience. Then you have your mind, emotion, and will, right? You all know that. So those are the parts of our being that need to have an adjustment. And so that's where we need to go to the Lord. Lord, purify my heart. Lord, I'd like to open myself to you. And Lord, tune my heart. I mean, tune my thinking. And I would say this. Let me make it really simple. Our mind needs to be sober. We need to have an understanding mind. It's probably easy. You're probably here thinking about all kinds of things. I may be speaking just a few of you. The rest of you are thinking about something. I don't know. But our mind is just wild. It's crazy. And so often, we need to touch the Lord. Lord, my mind. May my mind be sober. Give me an understanding mind. Give me a mind that's open. Let the Lord shine through the thoughts of our mind into the rest of our being. Now, our emotion. What about our emotion? What is your emotion like? Our emotion is up and down. You're loving. You don't love. You're mad. You're not mad. You feel good. You don't feel good. You're bored. Now you're not bored. You know, our emotion is just all over the place. But we need an emotion that loves the Lord.
Amen.
We need emotions that are, they're right, they're proper. Our emotions, we were made in a certain way to love the Lord.
Amen.
To love the body of Christ.
Amen.
To love man.
Amen.
This is the kind of heart we need. We need a heart that has a sober mind and a loving emotion.
Amen.
And not only that, we need a will, our will, the other part of our heart, a will that is subdued. Not stubborn and rebellious. In our will, we're so rebellious. You know, my wife will say, when are you going to take out the trash? And you know what? I was just getting ready to do it. Now I'm not going to do it at all. I'm going to wait. You know, we're just rebellious about everything. You tell me to turn right, I think I'll go left. Well, you know, my wife will say, well, it's short if you go this way. Okay, well, you can go that way. I'll just go this way. You know, I just don't want to go along with anybody. You know, we're just stubborn. We're rebellious. You know, in those early days, I wanted to have a job where I never had to wear a tie. Look at me. You know, That was my thought. You know, I'm never getting a job. You know, I just want to have long hair and do what I want. You know, next thing you know, I'm working at a bank. I'm working in the evening. I don't have to have a tie. But they gave me a promotion. So I had to work in the afternoon after school. And I had to wear a tie. So it's like, well, is it a job? Tie? I think I'll keep the job. Next thing, I'm wearing a tie. We're just so rebellious. Well, listen, we need a subdued will. We need our being, our heart set right so that we can receive Amen. Heavenly revelation, a heavenly vision, something that would come in. You know, when the scenery outside the camera gets into the camera, the first problem is the lens. You know, there's someone we know, he's taking pictures in Tokyo, had a nice camera. But, you know, you could look through a nice camera and see everything. You take picture. Then he comes back, oh, no pictures. Why? The lens cap was on the whole time. But you can still see everything, but he didn't get anything, you know. So sometimes that's the problem with our mind. Lord, my mind, get through. Lord, take the lens cover off. We need to all tell Lord, take the lens cover off. Shine the divine scenery into my being, into the film of my heart. But our heart needs to be adjusted. If the film's not in there properly. Of course, everything's digitized now. You don't even know what a camera is, do you, Harley? The old cameras. But anyway, I'm sorry, I'm getting distracted. Okay. I think that's good on that. Saints, we just need the prayer that would give us the revelation. Amen. Concerning himself and concerning his purpose. Okay, now I've got to quickly go on in 5 minutes. Roman numeral 2, let's all read it. Let's just kind of go through here, see if we can go through, zoom through. Altogether, in all the visions that Paul saw, he saw Christ. Okay, and I have to stop here and mention these verses, Galatians 1, 15, 16, because this is kind of related to my burden. In these two verses, Paul says something. I hope you would look these up, but I'll read them to you. Paul said this, when it pleased God who set me apart from my mother's womb and called me through his grace, it pleased him to what? To reveal his son in me. It pleased God to reveal his son in me. That I might announce him. That I might announce what? What do we announce? We announce him. Amen. Let's all say it. Him. Again, him. Christ.
Christ.
Amen. Well, the first thing I want you to be impressed with in this is Paul said something that applies to each and every one of us. And I hope you'd be impressed. It pleased God. Amen. It pleased God. It made him happy. It made him so happy to reveal his son in Paul. But you have to go back and look at the rest of it. It pleased God who, what? Who knew me. You know, how does it say it? He set me apart from my mother's womb. In the Old Testament, the Lord said, when you were in the mother's womb, I knew you. I forget which prophet he said it. I knew you. In other words, he knew us when we were in our mother's womb. Listen, forget about your mom and dad. If you grew up in the church and you know your mom and dad, they were for the Lord, and now you're here and you have to be for the Lord, kind of, and you're older now, you're starting making your own decision. Listen, forget about mom and dad here. Listen, he knew you when you were in your mother's womb. He knew you. And you know what? He's calling you. He's calling you by his grace to do something marvelous. The same thing he did to Paul. He wants to reveal his son in you.
Amen.
This is what he wants. It pleased God. Who set me apart from my mother's womb and called me through his grace to what? To reveal his son in me. This is what happened. This is what happened to me. This is what happened to many of us. We just want all of us to have this experience. And even to tell the Lord, thank you. You knew me when I was in my mother's womb. You set me apart already. Even before I was born, you already set me apart. It's not about, oh, I'm just happened to be here. No, you didn't just happen to be here. He knew you. He set you apart, and he's calling you by his grace. Amen. To do what? To reveal his son in you.
Amen.
He wants to give you a heavenly vision.
Amen.
A heavenly vision of this marvelous, wonderful Christ. And then now I have to go on to say something more. And that is, I'm skipping to point two under A. Can we all read this? The name Jesus embodies the full message of the gospel. Paul saw that Jesus is Jehovah the Savior, and that as the one who is now in the heavens, he has passed through the process of incarnation, human living, death, resurrection,
and ascension.
So what did Paul see? He saw, listen, I'm responsible for persecuting the believers, having some killed, threatening murder. I'm going to murder. Give me some more that I could take off to prison. But he realized one day the Lord spoke and said, you're persecuting me. Now, what did that imply? What did he see as he prayed? He realized, wait a minute. The voice came from heaven. I'm Jesus. So he realized, wow, Jesus, he's in the heavens. And he's speaking to me. But on the other hand, he's what? He's in all those believers. He said, I'm persecuting him. So on one hand, I'm persecuting him. Here's Ray. He's one of the members. You need to go to prison. You're going to die for the Lord? You want to die? Listen, he's ready. He's ready for that. But he didn't realize Jesus was there. Lord said, why are you persecuting what?
Me.
I'm in all these believers. But where is Jesus when he was there? When he heard his voice. He's in the heavens. So all the things begin to click. Really? So that this one who was on the earth, that was God, who became a man. He was incarnate to be a man. He lived on the earth. He died. He took care of all the problems, just like it said in the Old Testament. And now what? We know he died. I saw it. You know, we all were aware. He didn't see it, but he was aware. Jesus died on the cross. He died. Well, wait a minute. He's in the heavens speaking right now. So he must have resurrected. So he's clear. He resurrected from the dead. Not only that, oh, he ascended to the heavens. Oh, so now he's speaking. So all of a sudden he saw the whole wire diagram. God became a man. He lived on the earth. He went to the cross. He died. He resurrected. And oh, he didn't just resurrect. He's not speaking to me. Listen, he came as a spirit and got into all the believers.
Amen.
So he's there and he's here. What kind of revelation is that? Wow. This is who we have in us right now.
Amen.
The body is not just a body. It's the body of Christ. Anyway. Okay, I think I'll stop. See if there's... Let's just read point three. How about that? We need to see central vision, which is the vision that the triune God became flesh, died for the accomplishment of redemption, and in resurrection became the all-inclusive, life-giving Spirit. Amen. I think that's good. Let's just go to the focus, to the end, and just let's read that all together, and then we'll turn it over to you guys. Let's see. Focus. We all need to freshly see the heavenly vision that Paul saw,
a vision
that revolutionized his life and service. By exercising our spirit of wisdom, revelation, with the eyes of our heart enlightened, we may receive the central vision of Christ as the center of God's eternal plan. Okay, so we have a couple of brothers, is that right, that would kind of give a confirming word that have been already prepared?
I'm always very intrigued by Paul, and when he saw the vision and the price that he was willing to pay to pursue that vision. He was very educated, very popular among his own, and when he saw Christ, he came to a point where he had to pay a high price. And I asked myself, what price am I willing to pay to pursue that vision?
Amen.
What am I willing to give my life to? Paul, he was given his life to something. What was that? Persecuting the Christians. But he didn't see it as that. He was given his life to his religion.
Yeah.
What am I giving my life to? Day after day, I'm so occupied. I'm occupied by a lot of things. We all are occupied.
Yeah.
By your education, by your talent, by your job. I'm sure if you make a list, you would be shocked to see how many things occupy your daily space, your mind. What occupies your emotion? What occupies your will? Even your will to live. What is occupying that? Your will to get up in the morning. Is it your education? Is it your drive for recognition? I'm asking myself that. This is something between you and God. Something between me and God. Lord, what have I been given my life to? What vision am I pursuing, Lord? At your age, you're in university, you're in college, you're probably at the threshold of your future. And you will come to a point where you have to give your life to something.
Yes.
You will come to that point.
Amen.
Paul came to that point. You will come to that point. And when you come to that point, you'll realize that you need to expect some distractions and some oppositions. Because when you determine to pursue the Lord, you will be distracted. You will receive opposition. A lot of the times the opposition might be outward. Sometimes there are inward oppositions. Simon, what are you really doing? Do you really want to pursue this? Or do you want to pursue that? It will come. All right? No, I was really impressed this morning when the brother shared one point. The vision can keep us.
Amen.
You see, it's not you alone.
Yeah.
As you pursue this vision, you're not alone.
Right.
Don't think that you're alone pursuing this vision. Yeah. Praise the Lord, when you look at what happened to Paul, he was led to the body.
Yeah.
He was led to the body and he was shepherded in life. When you see Christ, we're here this weekend and I pray that you would see a vision. You would just catch a glimpse of this vision.
Amen.
And from message to message, this vision would grow.
Amen.
And as this vision grows, you give it to the Lord.
Amen.
You give yourself to the Lord.
Amen.
And you enter into the appreciation and the strength of the body.
Amen.
And the body will carry you.
Amen.
Praise the Lord, saints.
Amen. All right. Praise the Lord, saints.
Amen.
You know, this is a very marvelous message. Right, it's on the heavenly vision. And I really pray, and my desire is for you all to see something this weekend.
Amen.
And it's only when we see such a vision will we be kept in this Christian race.
Amen.
You know, it's a very good example is the Apostle Paul himself. You know, he has such a high attainment. He is, you know, born of a Jew. There's a whole bunch of things he has attained, you know. But what does he tell King Agrippa? He said, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision.
Amen.
Right? He has seen something.
Amen.
And this is what kept him.
Amen.
Even through his whole Christian journey, he went through lots of persecution.
Amen.
But what kept him is this heavenly vision.
Amen.
And so this is why my earnest desire for you all is to really see something.
Amen.
You know, maybe not the whole thing, but at least to see a glimpse of this vision. Because even if we can see something this weekend and walk away,
Amen.
You know, it will be able to preserve us even throughout this whole school year.
Amen.
You know, lots of things will come.
Amen.
You know, classes, midterms, finals, distractions from friends, all things will come. But if we see this vision, it will not shake us.
Amen.
You know, we will stand firm.
Amen.
Right, so that's why I really, really pray that you will open your being.
Amen.
You know, maybe you don't see, maybe you haven't seen much yet, but I really pray that you will open your being.
Amen.
Just for the Lord. Just open even a little bit for the Lord to speak to you.
Amen.
So may we really give ourselves for this.
Amen.
You know, just open entire being. Turn our heart to the Lord.
Amen.
You know, that the Lord will remove the veil.
Amen.
Right? And even pray for the eyes of our heart to be enlightened.
Amen.
Right? That we can really see something.
Amen.
Because the moment we see this, then there's nothing, you know, that there's nothing that will change us.
Amen.
We will be able to go on.
Amen.
Right? So, amen. Praise the Lord. Amen.